everybody, and welcome to episode 37. I almost said tonight's episode, but it's not tonight. Wherever you are, may not be tonight, depending on when you listen to it. Good Lord. We're kind of splitting things up a little. Normally, you know, people do all their best ofs in a row, one show, not us, because, it's just too much stuff. We got games to talk about, and then we got movies to talk about. But we don't want to talk about movies without having seen Last Jedi, which comes out on Friday. So what we decided was that we're going to talk about our favorite games tonight. And then we are going to take a week off. Next show we'll talk about – we might be able to do both next show. We might be able to do.
I don't know. I don't know how much I'm going to have to say about Jedi.
Okay. Well, depending on.
And I have lots to say about movies this year, but. Okay. I don't know that I can get all of my Jedi talk and best movies of the year in 1 hour.
Okay. So we're going to talk about Jedi next show. And then after that, we will do our. What do you call it? Our best movies, of the year, favorite movies, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, for folks that kind of listen to Jumping the Shark, and even when we did this last year, it's not necessarily the best. It's just more, you know, things that, you know, we had strong feelings about one way or the other, I guess would be the best way.
Yeah, like even tonight, this is not for me anyway. It's not like there's no numerical order. I went through my lists on my achievement list and my trophy list, and
my Gamefly list.
I didn't play a lot of shit this year. I just played the shit out of the few things I did play.
So. I played a lot of stuff. No. Well, I always play a lot. At any given moment, I may be playing three things at once.
Right.
But yeah. Okay, cool. So as I said, this is going to be just kind of all over the place. It's us. I mean, nobody expects structure at this point. If you're expecting structure, you're on the wrong fucking podcast. I tell you what.
Coherent journalistic criticism. Fuck.
Right. I'm just like, it was cool. That part when he did that thing with the
that
thing.
Was fun.
That was great. Loved it. Hashtag loved it. That's about it. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So we talked prior to the show, and I have a list of things, good things, you know, not so good things, and then the absolute worst thing. You're all good. Are you focusing on positivity tonight? Like you should be.
Well, because
hating on shit.
And I say that only because, like, I mean, basically, when I looked at my list, I didn't really hate anything. Like most of the shit I played, I enjoyed.
I did, and I played it all the way through. That's the worst part.
Okay. I was gonna say, I know of one you didn't care for that you did not play all the way through.
Which one's that one?
It's gonna be one of the ones I talk about. Is one of my favorites for the year. Prey.
Oh, you know, it didn't even make the list.
Oh, that stings.
All right, well, let's get started then. So how about you kick us off then?
I can do that. You know what I'm going to do? Mm-hmm. And I didn't talk about this before. I do have one honorable mention, because since you have more than me, okay. I just have a real quick honorable mention, get it out of the way. Because I actually, you know, I play old shit.
Yeah.
Too, because I'm always behind, right? And so I had to look up release dates on all these fucking games on most of my list.
I have a cheat. I have a cheater on my list. Definitely.
All right. So I played Uncharted 4.
Oh, yeah. Great game.
Right before I played Horizon Zero Dawn, I played Uncharted 4 because I just didn't play it last year. It's one of those things I knew I'd play it eventually. I really wasn't in a hurry. Didn't realize that I should have been because it was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, like, it's a good game.
I've been thinking about it since I played it.
Did you play the DLC?
No, I have no
expansion. It's good.
Okay.
It's not on my list. It didn't make the list, but it's solid.
I need to do that. And also the new one I haven't played yet either, but the new one?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'll get that eventually. Just not yet. But, but I loved the story. Like, Uncharted is Uncharted is Uncharted. You know what I mean? Like, the gameplay, you know what you're getting.
Right.
I mean, they'll add maybe one mechanic, but otherwise, you're playing Uncharted.
Right.
And I fucking loved the story for Uncharted 4. It's my favorite Uncharted game.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Although, and I mean, we talked about this last time, that having replayed the first three before, I'm really glad that I did that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I didn't, but because up until this one, 2 was my favorite, and I still love 2.
I bet 2 is still your second favorite.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I was surprised at, is that my opinions didn't change. Is that I was like, oh, I still hate 3. Like, I fucking hate 3. I played it all the way through twice.
Right.
Like, I couldn't even go, yeah, I still don't like it, I'm not going to play it. I was like, well, let me keep giving it a chance.
It's enhanced.
Yeah, right, exactly. Look how much better he looks. Look how much better these bullshit SWAT team motherfuckers look. Fuck it. Get the fuck out of here with your dumbass shields. Yeah, no, Uncharted 4 is good. And I mean, the reality is when I say it didn't make the list, like, this is something that folks have to understand, and I think everybody is feeling this. A game that didn't make the list in 2017 could very well have been Game of the Year last year.
Right.
Like, it was such an amazing year for games that to not make the list doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means it couldn't compete with some of the best games that have come out in quite a while.
Yeah.
So that is nothing. Like, I really enjoyed the expansion for Uncharted 4, and to say that it didn't make the list doesn't mean that it's bad. But I mean, when you're going to compare it to some of the stuff that's on this list, like, it's just there's no comparison.
Right.
But yeah, well, so like, one of my cheaters is Hitman Season 1.
Oh, okay.
Because technically, Hitman Season 1 was all throughout 2016. But the collected edition that you could get with everything, that came out at the beginning of 2017. And I am so glad that they found the IO Studios there, managed to buy back or sacrifice a goat or whatever the fuck it is they did to get the IP back from Square. Because holy shit, like, Hitman Season 1 was fucking brilliant. Like, when you consider, when you just take the time, if you don't care about time and you're just like wandering through the levels and being careful and observing things, and you get a feel for the number of ways they give you to complete these objectives and how much, like, design work had to go into making sure all of those parts fit together in a way that could allow you to fuck up and still recover and still do it a different way. I mean, I cannot even imagine what the planning would have been like to figure out a way to allow all of this shit to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I was saying, I don't want to cut you off, but that was my second favorite thing to watch you stream this year.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a very close second to you sniping tanks in the face.
Like, I have that. I have that too.
That was my favorite thing to watch you stream. But Hitman was a close second.
And I think that, like, for me, for Hitman, the thing that I still have yet to figure out, and it's just is when you play the game and you go through and you feel really good about yourself that you managed to complete something in like 45 minutes and you're like, I'm fucking master assassin, yo. And then like, leaderboard is like a minute and a half, like, in the Hitman suit, no kills discovered. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how the fuck is that even possible? Like, even if you unlocked every possible starting location, how do you get 3 targets down in a minute and a half without anybody ever finding, like, that blows my mind. And yeah. I should like watch one of those runs just to see like what's involved. But the fact that the game is flexible enough, like, if you play it enough and you unlock enough and it's flexible enough to allow you to legitimately do that and not like cheese your way through it, I think is fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that was – it was – and I mean it's one of those things too that it was kind of hard for me to find my groove at first because I didn't really get it. But then once it clicks, you're just like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely cool. All right, so what's next?
All right, so I guess next for me, just briefly, I'll touch on Prey again. Not my favorite game of the year, but it ended up being one of my favorite games of the year. Like, you know, I went off on it last show, so I don't want to spend a lot of time. But, yeah, just really good survival sci-fi horror. Not quite a first-person Dead Space, which I would kill for. Mm-hmm. I appreciated the way that, you know, it gave you just enough to get you from this objective to the next objective. I really, really dug the story. I know a lot of people didn't. But, you know, I thought the controls are great, looked great. And, you know, it's one of those games that's like, I don't know, there are certain games that come out every year that I feel like, to me, feel more like PC experiences. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah,
but like,
no, it does. Yeah, like that. Yeah, I get that.
The way it moved and just the controls and all this, like, I feel like, I don't know, it almost was – probably would have been better on PC, even though I'm not a PC guy. But, you know, it's way better than the first Prey. Not that it had anything to do with that, but
talk about it. Like if there was an award for least like its, you know, whatever.
Right. Namesake, maybe like. Yeah. But no, I mean, you know, that's if you dig survival horror, and the thing is, like, the game wasn't marketed that way, which is the issue. Like, I would have played it way before I did.
I agree. I expected it to be more like a BioShock, which had some like kind of horror elements to it, but it was still
right.
It was still a shooter, and it right. just happened to be, you know, it was like, you know, Undying, where you had a gun in one hand and a power in your other. And goddamn right, I said Undying because that shit did it first. And I think that's one of the things that I was originally like, wait a minute, I don't want to play survival horror, you know, like I want to have superpowers and I want to shoot aliens and fry them with my lightning bolts or whatever the fuck thing I have.
Right.
And I wonder if some of that was intentional though, because, you know, they were trying to get in, you know, a different audience, or they just maybe didn't want to compete with, you know, Resident Evil 7 or, you know.
Right. I think all that probably was factored in, you know, although, you know, it was a big year for survival horror, you know, there's sort of been a resurgence. And I wonder if it wasn't, because it's not really, it is, but it isn't. So it's like, it's not, if you tell somebody, hey, here's our survival horror game, they're going to be like, this is bullshit. This isn't survival right. horror.
Yes.
So it walks a line that I think maybe they weren't quite sure where their audience was going to be.
Right. Because I mean, it definitely isn't the type of game that you can just like run and gun and who cares about ammo. I mean, right. I guess if you like the way that you did it, if you kind of save in the early game, you can spend in the late game.
Right.
And typically survival horror, it's not, I mean, you may saving is like, I can use two bullets, you know, like yeah, you know, right. And so it had some of those elements to it, but not, like you said, to the degree that I think, you know, a real survival horror fans would expect.
Right.
And I wonder if that's part of the reason why maybe it didn't connect with people as much, is because it kind of tried to have, you know, its feet in two different worlds without fully committing to either one of them.
Right.
And I wonder why they kept the name. Like,
that is mind-boggling to me. I don't get that, because it has nothing to do with Prey on the 360.
And were people like, all. "Wow, I really love Prey. I would love a
sequel." No, that's what I'm saying. Like, who fucking cares?
Because I can tell you right now, I was at like the E3 where they showed the demo of what the Prey sequel originally was going to be. Fuck the Space Bounty Hunter game, and that game was fucking badass. Like, and so when I heard, oh yeah, they got the name, I was like, sweet. And then I was reading about it, I was like, this is nothing like nothing like that game. But so I don't know why. I don't know if they just were like, well, we have this IP, let's just use it. We bought it or spent. I don't remember who published the original Prey.
I don't either.
They probably bought it for like a nickel and a hand job or something. I mean, that's one like I play like sometimes I'll play a game and I'll be like, well, you know, it really wasn't my thing, but I'll go back to it. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. But yeah. All right, cool. Well, next on my list, and this is going to be somewhat chronological, but not entirely, because I did well, I guess not. Maybe a little bit. Horizon Zero Dawn. So that'd be my next one. Playing it now, the DLC, which I like, but not as much as I like the main game. But, you know, if you had told me even just 3 years ago that, hey, you know, the guys who make Killzone, they're going to make an open world, whatever, action role-playing game where you fight robot dinosaurs, I would be like, I don't know what drugs you're on, but I really would like a handful of them. But yet somehow they managed to do it. Like a team that couldn't – I mean, I like the Killzone games, but I don't like the Killzone games because they're good games. I like the Killzone games because they're the story of the most incompetent military squad ever. and they're hilarious in that context. But, I mean, you know, it's – I don't like them because I think they're really like spectacular games. And I think this game is genuinely a great game. Like, I don't know what they learned on Killzone that they brought over here, but holy shit. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the only thing I don't like is the writing. I don't think the dialogue is very strong, but I think the story was great in terms of like the reasoning behind, you know, what happened and the dinosaurs and whatnot. And it made sense, like when you know in the context of that world, it wasn't like, well, shit, this is out of nowhere. I mean, it was really cool. And even just the progression of how you found out about things and the progression of how you know could unlock overrides for the different beasties and to be able to find a viewpoint and be like, oh shit, that's Denver, you know, like to find real world. Yeah. You know, places that even though you're like, I ran from Denver to Arizona in 10 minutes. I thought all of that was fantastic. And then the combat was great. The different weapons, the different tools, you know, having to mix and match to take things down as you got further on to be able to override monster and all that stuff. I thought it just came together in a really amazing looking, fantastic playing package that that I never would have believed that studio was capable of, like not even a little.
Yeah, it's. I'll touch on it also because it's on my list. And if you were forcing, if you're holding a gun to my head and asking me for to put these in order, Horizon is probably 3 for me on the year. Mm-hmm. But I completely agree. I think that there are certain games that, like, you'll play a game and games control like they control.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. But every once in a while, something comes along and everything works so well that you wonder why every game doesn't feel like this.
Right.
And Horizon was that for me. I love Guerrilla Games. I know, like, the Killzone games are what they are. But it's from a pure, like, shooter standpoint. I love them.
I mean, yes, like, mechanically, they're very sound. Just and it, narratively. The thing is,
sure. You're absolutely right. But like, I love how just the weight of the Killzone, like how heavy the guns feel and how like everything's just this beefy, like even the new one, which was more sort of streamlined and shit. I dug the shit out of the weapons and everything like that. But it almost makes you wonder why they haven't been making third person action games from the minute they started.
Right.
Right. Because Horizon is so fucking good, and like, oh, the controls are so good, it's so tight, and it's like it's one of those games where when you fuck up, you fucked up. It's your fault. You know what I mean? It's not the game's fault. It's not you didn't press. You know, it didn't do something wrong. You pressed the wrong shit. You brought the wrong shit to this fight. Like, it's your fault.
Right. Right.
You know, it is told you what you need.
Right.
It's all perfect. Like, everything is there. It works perfectly. You're just fucking up.
Yeah. And the two, they, like last night when I was streaming and you had pointed out on the stream, like, look at her animation, how it's different when the snow is around her ankles compared to when it's around her waist. And that's not just there. Like, there's multiple points in this game where her animation changes contextually based on, like, subtle changes in her actions, not like big things. But, and I mean, it just makes the whole thing seem so, like, vibrant and lifelike. And I mean, it's awesome.
It's truly like I feel like out of everything that this current gen or next gen, whatever the fuck you want to call it, like cycle we're in is, you know, with all the fucking sequels and reboots and remasters and all this shit, this is like one of the few new IPs that I feel like has the legs to be a real franchise going forward.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean,
it's one of the few that I care about playing any more of. I could say that.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. And it was cool to have a game with a female protagonist that wasn't sexualized. It wasn't, you know, right. I mean, it was just like, you know, she's kind of an outsider and she was a badass. And, you know, they kind of gave, you know, they gave her, you know, all the tools that, you know, it made sense for her to not like we ever need like protagonists that make sense for, you know, why they're so awesome. But in her case, it did. You know, I mean, you know, everything just worked.
Yep.
And it worked to the point where you didn't even realize that it was work. Like, it just felt so seamless that you were just, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's kind of jarring in those situations, but not here.
Nope.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So do you want me to go next because we shared one, or do you have another one you want to?
No, you go ahead. It's fine.
Okay. Let's see. All right. So, You touched on this, and I would have to agree that one of my favorite things to stream this past year was Sniper Elite 4.
Yes.
I am not typically – I love stealth games, but for me, having like Dishonored 2 and I tried to play Death of the Outsider, like it was okay. But that type of stealth, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
But the stealth in Sniper Elite 4, like hiding in bushes, waiting for a plane to pass overhead so that you can shoot a Nazi in the face. Like, holy shit, that apparently is my kind of stealth. I thought that, you know, having never played a Sniper Elite game before. And I mean, yeah, like, you know, the slow motion, you know, testicle kill. It's, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's fun the first time when you're like, ha ha. And I mean, you can turn that shit off. But it's more the graphic, you know, those slow motion shots, they're more of kind of an attaboy. Like, yeah, play. Right. You did this. You set this up. These motherfuckers, they don't even know where you are. Like, and that's more to me what it was. Less of a, oh, it's cool to see his head explode, but more of a, you know, like a sign that, you know, you set that thing up right.
Right.
And then, you know, also, like you talked about, the sheer insanity. Like, I can't tell you how many times I would come upstairs and I would have the iPad and I'd say to my wife, like, look at this, look, wait, boom, that's a boat. Like, I shot a boat in the face. You know, like, and she could care less. Like, that poor woman, like, the shit she had to put up with when I was streaming this game, because she's just like, yeah, it's great. And I'm like, wait for it. This is a tank. You know, like, it's just that waiting for the perfect shot and knowing that your breath is going to run out and the boat's not going to take another pass. And maybe if you get it wrong, they're going to be on you in a second. And then getting that shot and seeing the slow motion and knowing, oh, yeah. And then next thing you know, the boat goes boom. Like, that was so gratifying in ways that, like, other games that I played this year just didn't have.
Yeah. Like, so I was in the same boat with 3. Like, I didn't play 4 yet. It's on my list. I will get it. But 3 was like that for me. Like, 3 was – I was like, I've never played one of these before. And I think it was like 2 years ago. It was – you know, Microsoft does the countdown to New Year sale or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
And like Chris and I were – you know, we played the shit out of Destiny. And so it was kind of like one of those things where let's find something else that we might could play. And I think the complete edition for Sniper 3 was like $9 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just downloaded it because I thought, hey, if nothing else, it'll be funny to shoot somebody in the nuts and, you know, whatever. And I got fucking hooked on it. Like, oh, it was fantastic. And I will say, and I've known this since it happened, but my favorite moment in gaming, it just in general this year, was the tank shot. Like, I lost my shit when you shot a tank in the face. I was like, holy shit. Because it was, listeners, people, it was a slit in the front of this tank that maybe an envelope could have gone through.
Right. You had to wait for it to turn red.
My man put a bullet through that shit and hit this motherfucker right in the eye. And holy shit, I lost it.
My favorite part, though, was I didn't realize you could do it. And I was like, oh, shit, that's turning red. And I was like, let's do it. And then it was like, oh, I was like, oh, God. No.
So, yeah, fucking love that game. My favorite moment in gaming this year.
Yes. I'm waiting for, like, the DLC to go on sale because I'd love to pick it up to do, like, the Hitler mission and, you know, the other stuff.
Oh,
And I think that game would be a lot of fun in co-op, not so much when things work out, but when they don't. When your partner, like, does something and next thing you know, all the Nazis are on you. You're like, what did you do? You know?
No, like, I was going to say, like, you know, I watched you and, like, one other person, and that's about it. But I did actually watch Tom Chick and McMaster co-op Sniper 4. Yeah, it was just like that. It was hilarious.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely worth, and that was one, you know, I mean, it's, games are expensive and time being what it is, it's not always easy to kind of take a shot on something that, you know, normally you don't play, but it was like, my wife was like, what do you want for your birthday? And I was like, all right, well, these games are reviewed well. And I wrote a review of it by, you know, a reviewer that who typically, you know, our interests align. And so I asked for that and another game on my list, which I'll get to later. And it was totally worth it. Like, you know, it's tough because sometimes, you know, when you know your time's limited, you know, the tendency is to kind of stick with something that might be a little safer. But, man, am I glad between this and the other game I'll mention when I get to it, I'm glad I took a chance on them because, holy shit, like, they were great.
Nice.
All right. You're up.
Cool. All right. So the next one I'll get into is one that I had. It's Ghost Recon Wildlands.
I have that on my list too.
So,
not in the best. Not in the good.
Okay.
It's in my disappointing list.
All right. So I personally could never be disappointed in a game that was it the beta we played, I guess.
Oh God, yes. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
And it is. My favorite clip that I've made of this year is you
with the transport that's on fire.
Yes. Setting down the beacon
on the burning gas truck.
This truck is 1000% on fire, getting ready to explode. And
we're like, we'll send it to the rebels.
So it was so funny because, like, I shot the last guy and you're like, oh shit, what do we do? And I was like, go over there and tank it. Go tank it. And I didn't think you'd do it because it's on fucking fire. And then here you come flying in from the right side of my screen, running towards this fucking inferno. I was like, I was just kidding.
Yeah. And then they're like, we'll send it to the rebels. It's like, okay, are they going to be able to use it?
No. I couldn't believe it worked. It was so fucking funny. But then I think the only time we played it. And then, and then the game came out, and it's basically it's G.I. Joe, the video game. You get to dress up your little G.I. Joe how you want him, and then you go and fight the drug cartel. And, you know, it's the controls are ridiculously, like, convoluted and confusing. And if you haven't played in a while, good luck going back to it, because I figured that. But you know, I dug the story well enough. You know, and yeah, the mission variety wasn't really there, but I also will say that while playing this game, I had a bout of insomnia where I just, I could not sleep. And so, I had cleared most of the map when the people I knew were playing it had just cleared one or two areas. I was just like, you know, I was up, you know, whatever. And, you know, I guess it's not – I miss Ghost Recon, like old Ghost Recon. Like Ghost Recon and Island Thunder, I love those games.
Yeah.
Because I miss the tactical part of it. And I still to this day blame SOCOM on PlayStation for ruining Ghost Recon. Because, you know, those games hit and they were third person squad games and you had to do most of the work and you had dumbass squad mates that you could tell to do shit, but they weren't very good at it. And so that's what I miss about like the original Ghost Recon, because I rarely pulled the trigger on the first two.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah, man. I put snipers on fucking hills. I plotted missions out. I read maps. I paid attention to where the enemies were. Like, I was tactical as a motherfucker on the first two. And on and everything since has been the complete opposite. I do it all myself, or, you know, and this one I use the drone until the
This one I would use them for sniping, and that's basically it. Like, I can't tell you how many times I was like, can you please shoot this guy? Like, can you maybe can somebody shoot something other than me?
Yep. But at the end of the day, I played a fuck ton of this game this year. I put a lot of hours on it. I enjoyed it. You know, yeah, people bitched about the driving. I didn't have that much of a problem with it.
I think the driving, once you got used to it, was fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. Flying, I enjoy flying the helicopters.
Once they changed the helicopter controls, it was much better.
But also, and this is funny, like, I was, when I was writing my list out for today, another thing about it is I played it with friends, and I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I played alone, and it became like a thing because I got it, like, I played it, I rented it, then I sent it back, and then I got it for like $20. And as something to do, like, when I didn't have anything else, it was fine. But it, you know, in, but at the same time, in that capacity, and I know this is an odd complaint to have, it was almost like there was too much game, because there was, you know, some of the provinces, particularly the ones where it was mostly the army.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
They were awful.
Yeah, they were. They were. You're right. I mean, yeah, it's a, like, it was overwhelming when I first started it. And I tell you, man, if I had not had that, like, probably solid month where I just could not sleep, I'd still wouldn't be anywhere near done with it. Cause, you know, I play shit slow. So the fact I cleared the fucking board, you know, within 3 months of the game coming out. And that is so rare for me. But it, like I said, again, with friends, it's so fucking fun. It's especially fun.
I could see that.
Yeah. It's especially fun to, like we talked about, you know, to like the sniper, like, like for me, I'm the asshole who's already done everything. So when I would play with somebody, like, I would fuck their shit up. You know what I mean? Like I would throw C4 on a car that we were in and not tell them, and then wait till we got to where we were going and detonate it. Shit like that. You know, I'm that asshole. Yeah. And so that was fun for me because I'd already done all these things. Right. And the other thing I will say is, like, as I was making this list today, this is really bizarre, but I was writing the shit at work this morning, and I got a tweet from the Frozen one. And apparently tomorrow there's Predator DLC coming. And I was like, oh shit. I can't wait for that shit this weekend.
And I mean, I will say that is the one thing. And I mean, it's also with the Division too. Like, they've continued to support both of those games kind of well past, I think, the time when anybody would expect them to, especially the Division, which I don't think made the impact they were kind of hoping for, but they've still, you know, continued to do updates and content drops and changing how they do things. And I give them a lot of credit for continuing to support it, because, you know, it's one thing to say that you want, you know, these games to be, you know, not just maybe not like platforms, but to have legs. It's another thing to actually, you know, support that idea and give people new things to do.
Well, it's the same thing with Rainbow. Like, I love Rainbow Six Siege. I loved it from the minute I bought it. I was like, this is something special here. This is good. Like, if they do this right, this game is something that is going to be huge. And I think it is. I mean, we're going into year three. There's a professional league. Like, it's a thing.
Right.
Like, it's better than Rainbow Six had ever been, because as good as Rainbow Six was as a squad-based shooter, and I love Rainbow Six, but they almost made it a tactical hero shooter, which had never been done. And that is brilliant. And it has paid off for them.
Right.
great. But Ghost Recon, it's not perfect, but if you like realistic sort of tactical squad based shooters, it's well worth playing. And I can't wait to fucking hunt Predator this weekend.
Awesome. All right. So for me, the next one is one that – so I'm going to do two at once because I think – and so we're getting into the Switch territory of the broadcast. And these two are related in that they are games that I typically don't play with characters I typically avoid. And that is Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle and Super Mario Odyssey. So both of those games are games that like when you get a new console, I think it's only natural that you're like, well, shit, I spent the money on this thing. I want to be able to play something on it.
Right.
And when I read about I love the Raving Rabbids. I think they're so fucking stupid, but they are hilarious to me. Like that's my sense of humor is just that dumb, like, and I know some people just find them annoying, but I think they're great. Like, I mean, yeah. You know, obviously I'm not going to play a bunch of mini games with them, but I think just the idea of these like stupid and annoying rabbits for whatever reason, it makes me laugh.
So I get that.
When they were like, oh, it's like XCOM. It's a turn-based game where you have rabid versions of Mario characters, and then it was actually good. I was like, what the fuck? I'll play it. And I bought it mostly because I was like, well, I have a Switch. I want to play something on it. And God damn it, if it wasn't a really good game. And it was the type of game that, you know, the flexibility that the game gives you, it encourages experimentation. So, you know, you can bring three people. Mario always has to be on your team. That's the only thing I don't like about it. But you can then switch up your other two team members. And if you do a battle and it's not working out for you, you could just switch it up, not in the middle of a battle, but you don't have to like fail. And then like you can just switch it up right before the battle starts and try different heroes and buy them different weapons. And so, you know, this ability to kind of mix and match and find out what worked best without any real penalty is in large part what made it so good. But then also, if you want like super serious, hard challenges after you finish a stage, they have them for you. You can go back and do them and you get, you know, money and, you know, there's the collectibles are kind of bullshit, but you could you know, buy new weapons and things like that. If you just want to go through the story, you know, we can do that too. And I can't tell you how many times like I would be tearing my hair out, like pissed off that I couldn't complete a stage. And I changed like one hero. And it was like the next time it was like, what is this? Did I switch this to easy? Like, and it was amazing because just to see what a difference that would make, like particularly early on in the game, you think like, oh, okay, like Luigi, he's not all that great because he's weak and you know, but that dude is baller. Like he's a sniper, so he can do a crazy amount of damage. Then you can give him this skill called Overwatch, where anybody who comes into his field of vision, he'll shoot. Then you can upgrade it so that he'll do it twice. So, I mean, he was just like a fucking murder machine. Like, he would just sit there, and then anybody came in his field of view, and he'd fucking just take them out. And then another person, and I mean, it was just like the whole map would be just like littered with corpses, and there's Luigi, and he's just like, hee hee. What the fuck? You know, and then, and like, I loved that, like, you know, the Princess Peach version of the rabbit, like, she was obsessed with selfies, and like, I mean, it just was the whole thing. Was great. And I mean, I cannot imagine, knowing how protective Nintendo is with their properties, like the fact that they let this happen, I think is fantastic because,
yeah,
you know, the game made fun of Mario games just left and right. You know, and the fact that they were totally okay with that and it all ended up working out, I think is fantastic. And it maybe if they didn't have a new console that they were trying to sell, maybe they wouldn't have done it. I don't know, but man, am I glad that they did.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if they're not trying to change that perception or that business practice about themselves also.
Yeah,
because no, you know, at the end of the day, the Wii U was a failure. I mean, I don't have one. I can't really speak to that. Like, I don't want to be that guy. But
it's the only Nintendo console since the GameCube that I don't own.
Same here. So it's like,
I take that back. I do own it. It's just my kids. I've never played anything on it.
Oh, okay. I don't own one, but I think that they sort of knew they needed to win with the Switch, and honestly, I kind of think they maybe weren't sure how it was going to be received after the Wii U, and so I'm glad they did, thank God, because this was the fucking year of Nintendo. Let's not kid ourselves. Like, yeah, you can say what you want to about the, you know, the Xbox One X or whatever, and then PS4 had a good year, sure, but this was like Nintendo came back with a fucking vengeance this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I mean, we don't really have a like a hardware discussion, but the Switch is a genuinely good console. Like, I mean, I think the fact that like if you're the type of person where you're like, well, I have a 4K TV and I want to make sure everything is super awesome and HDR and whatnot, well, that's not the console for you,
right?
But you know, if you're like, I want a console that looks good when I hook it up to my TV, and then it also looks good in handheld mode. I mean, I wish the battery life was better,
yeah,
but it's still fucking great. I play it. The only time I ever played it hooked up to a TV is when I was playing Breath of the Wild, which we'll get to later. But other than that, I mean, for me, it was basically handheld all the time, and it worked. Mm-hmm. And it worked great. And I mean, and then, you know, maybe you've got people like Skyrim, like they've never played Skyrim before, and yeah, Skyrim's a 6-year-old game or whatever,
right?
But if you can, the fact that it's on a Nintendo console, that right there, the fact that Bethesda believes enough in the Switch to put Doom and Skyrim,
right,
and they're gonna put Wolfenstein on it, I mean, yep. I think that's fucking great.
Yep.
But in the same vein, like the next one is Super Mario Odyssey. I don't play Mario games. I haven't played a Mario game since I don't know what. I mean, I'll play like Paper Mario. Like, I like the Mario. I call them like Mario adjacent. They're not like pure
right,
Mario
yeah.
games.
Right, right, right.
But when I saw the thing at E3, I'm like, this motherfucker, like, he could possesses other people? Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes.
Yeah.
I am all in. And I got to tell you, man, it was a fucking great game. Like, it was a great – like, now, there's certain games where when I'm done with it, I'll go back and I'll get everything. Like, you ain't – that is not – like Wildlands, for example. I went and I got every stupid goddamn collectible there was to get, every weapon part, every piece of intel, all that shit.
Right.
I did it. But, like, Super Mario Odyssey is one of those games where if you just focus on the things that you need to do to progress from stage to stage, there's a lot of game there. There's a lot of challenge there. You get to use all the different mechanics, all the different moves, mix and match them, kind of have a good time, see all sorts of cool things. And if you want it to stop right there, you're satisfied. At least I was. But if you look through and you see all the moons you missed, I guarantee you will be amazed, because you will be like, you'll leave a stage thinking you were the fucking boss. And they're like, oh, you got less than 50%. And you're like, what? That is impossible. Where else? And so from that perspective, if you're like a completionist, if you want to get all the moons, man, they've got you covered for quite a long time. But if you don't want to feel like you have to do that, you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be the way. That'll be one of the first things I get, and I'll play it that way. Like, I'll get what I get, and I'll try to do as much as possible playing it. But I won't go back and get. It was like what 400 and something moons or whatever it is.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Fuck that.
And the reality is, like, a lot of them are kind of locked. Like, when you're in a stage right. for the first time, like, you genuinely can't get them at all. But that is a good. But I mean, to the variety of the stages, the way, you know, the way the game played with the different mechanics and everything. I mean, I thought it was fantastic. And I'm glad. Like, it's definitely one of those situations where, like, I'm glad I got a Switch. I mean, obviously, like, getting a new console is always fun. But if it got me to play games that I normally wouldn't play, then it's even better.
Right.
All right, cool. So what's up? What's next?
All right, so next for me, and this is one that, like we talked about earlier, if we were actual journalists, bringing this shit up like would immediately discredit me forever from ever talking about video games, but we're going to talk about Friday the 13th, the game.
I don't think it would.
Man.
I think that it's important to be able to separate, you know, technical issues from design and when the game worked, what it was able to accomplish.
Right. And that is exactly what this game is. This game is just stupid fucking fun when it works.
Yeah.
And if anybody was going to love this game, it was going to be me. And the fact that it didn't work, because, you know, I did the Kickstarter and this and that. I have it on both consoles. I bought it a third time because I wanted the physical copy on PS4. So I have it. I bought it three times. Mm-hmm. It is janky. The animations aren't great. At base, it is a super fun concept with a budget game coat of paint slapped on top of it.
Uh-huh.
But for me, like, everything about it that doesn't work, it's kind of stupid or you know, it's because, like, at first, yes, it was the connection issues were infuriating. And as we know from that infamous video where I lost my shit at the end of the the first one that did sort of work. But like, playing it now, it is just an absolute joy to me. Like, I have friends who have it. Playing it by myself is fun. You know, and you'd think, well, everybody says, you know, it's great as Jason, but not as fun as a counselor. I honestly prefer playing as a counselor. Mm-hmm. Just because, number one, when you're Jason and you're so OP, you're expected to wreck the whole room. And I don't like that pressure.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I can't kill all these motherfuckers. I don't even know where half of them are. Like, I can't find them. Right. So, like, it's still fun to be Jason, don't get me wrong. But, like, I like being the counselor. Like, I like trying to escape. Because there's
right. –
sure, it's fun when you kill somebody as Jason, but you're sort of supposed to. But there is, like, that feeling when you're putting the battery in the car. And it's the last thing you have to do to get out.
Right.
And that exhilaration, and then you get in the car, and then you're like, all right, well, Jason.
And then Gene runs you over with the car.
Sure. That happens. But it's always hilarious. Yeah, you're like, oh, fuck you. But it's funny every time. Like, it right. is just fucking fun. And even, like, you think about the movies this game is based on, man. Like, has glitches adds to the charm for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that makes sense that the game isn't perfect and it doesn't run flawlessly, or, you know, hey, look at that. I'm stuck in a fucking tree and I can't move. Like, that's just funny to me. Like, you know, but for the amount of money that the game cost, was like 30 bucks, whatever it is.
What was 30 bucks if you bought it once?
Well, true. But thanks to the
Savini, for normal people.
thanks for the Savini skin gate. I am still in the green on it. They're still paying me to play it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have all the DLC. I've bought it three times, and I still am in the green.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because they did the Savini deal. You saw the Savini skin, right? The yeah. black one. He's come back from hell or whatever. So I paid $6 for that. Because I backed the game like week one. Like, I bought my digital copy, which I wish I had done physical because they got a really sweet steel book and all this other shit. But anyway, I backed it because I paid $20 for digital, day one digital on Xbox. And I was like, well, I'll buy physical on PS4 when it comes out. And so then, like, months and months later, they were like, here's this Savini DLC. And it's only available through the Kickstarter. And I'm like, all right. So I bought it. They never sent me the survey thing asking me which system I wanted it for or what I wanted it for. So when they sent me the key, they sent me a Steam code. And I was like, well, I can't use this. This is useless to me. I have it on every other platform except for PC.
Right.
And so, of course, the week that all the keys came out, that motherfucker was selling for like $400 on eBay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, I ain't stupid. I can't use it. So your boy's about to get paid, and it's your fault because I sent them email after email asking to please, can I exchange this? I can't use it. They never responded to shit. And finally, they sent out this like this blanket email or update. It was like, we can't do exchanges at this time. I was like, well, fuck you. Cha-ching, motherfucker. I'm about to make it rain. So I threw my shit up on eBay and I priced it. I was like, buy it. Now I'm not going to be greedy. Super dickhead about it. Right. So I threw it on eBay. I started it at $100. I put buy it now at like, I think it was 200 or something like that. And it went within seconds.
Really?
And the guy paid within seconds. And I was like, well, that's it. Y'all had your opportunity to make it right and you didn't. So I'm getting paid. So yeah, I'm still getting paid to play that game.
Well, there you go.
But if you only paid attention, in closing, if you only paid attention to the game when it initially released and you're like, oh, this game is bullshit, whatever. If you're interested in Friday the 13th, if you're interested in that whole hide and seek sort of mechanic, the way the game works, it is totally worth playing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where, I mean, I think I would like it, but, you know, typically our schedules don't always line up.
Right. It would almost have to take the place of something like Drunk Watch.
Right, right. And I don't know if our crew is kind of ready to make that move.
No, it'd be me, you, and Gene.
What was I going to say? Okay, yeah. So for me, so the next one, these two are kind of go together because they're sports games, and normally I don't play sports games. One of them's on the Switch, one of them's on the PS4. So the one on the Switch is Golf Story.
Yes.
So I don't play sports games, but I love old school 3-click golf games.
Yeah.
Like Super Mario Golf, like Mario Golf Advanced Tour or whatever.
Right.
Like all the old school golf games where it was like click once and then click once for power and then click once for accuracy.
Yeah.
Fucking love those games. And so Golf Story is a golf themed RPG that came out exclusively for the Switch. And it is fucking great. It is long. It is involved. There's lots of stuff to do. And I got to tell you, man, I was fucking tearing my hair out in the last tournament. And you ought to talk about like a triumphant moment. Like I was shaking because I was on the third to last hole. It was a par 5. And I fucking eagled in, like a chip in eagle. Like I had been, like you have to win. I had already lost the last tournament. You have to win it or you keep redoing it.
Right.
And I forget exactly what the score was, but I was down by like 2 strokes. Fucking chip in eagle on 16 to tie it up. And I was like, holy shit. Chip in eagle on 17. I was like, you are fucking kidding. Like, I was so scared to keep playing. I was like, I don't want to pick it back up. Like what if I don't have the mo-? Like, I had to stop playing. I was like, what if I don't have the mojo? Like, what if I, like, and I ended up coming out of a hole to where going into 18, the guy that the leader was at like plus one and I was at zero. And I fucked up in the hole, and I managed to bogey it, and a tie won it. And I was like, oh, shit! Like, tie goes to the runner! Like fucking drop a Public Enemy versus around the house. But I was so scared. Like, after 2 chip-in eagles in a row, are you kidding me? I was like, yeah. I am terrified that I am not going to be able to reproduce this.
Right.
And I mean, and it's such a great game. You kind of take it at your own pace. There's lots of, like, extra things to do. It's all golf-related. I mean, you're not, like, killing monsters or anything. But it is so much fun. Different equipment you can buy. Different courses. Some are windy. Some are cold. You know, some are normal. Whatever. Like, little side quests. Just fucked up, stupid-ass characters, and it's a blast. So I highly recommend it. And so then the next one, which at the time that I read about it, I didn't know it was a sports game, so I got excited. Then I found out it was a sports game and I wasn't excited, and then the reviews came out and I got excited again. Probably one of my it's my top 3 favorite games of the year.
And that is Pyre. Supergiant Games.
Yeah.
You talk about your favorite gaming moment is me shooting. My favorite gaming moment of this year is the Giants win the pennant. Where there is a trophy in Pyre. So there's these constellations, and basically they make you worse. And there's a trophy for if you have all of them active at once and you win a match, there's a trophy involved. And I was playing a team that I knew sucked, and I was like, fuck it, let's try it. Like, there's no way I'm going to win this. We're going to do it anyway. So I set all 12 constellations to be active, and I fucking won, and I lost my shit. And I remember you saying, I don't know what happened, but I was excited for you. Like,
I remember it. I was sort of in and out of the stream, so I didn't know exactly. But, like, I could tell from your, like, reaction to it, like, you just done some shit. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm history.
It's like fantasy basketball. Like, that's basically – it's like basketball mixed with, like, ultimate frisbee. It's just this weird hybrid game where you're this – you know, you're controlling this group of outcasts, and then they have different powers, but you're eventually playing basketball. But the thing that I loved the most about the game was how all the themes of the game just kept traveling through the entire story, and it made you make these tough decisions almost to the point where you're like, well, you talked a big game heading up to this point. Are you willing to back it up? And this idea that your whole team is in prison, they're in exile, and if they win, they can be sent back home. But then that means you might be down your best player. And how do you balance that? Do you give them their freedom because they earned it? Or do you say, nope, sorry, you got to stay here because I need you? And I loved it. Like, I would agonize over the different decisions as to who to send. Who should stay? Does this mean that, like, we're not going to win? And I just thought it was fantastic. And for a game that I was so kind of lukewarm on when I first heard about it, to then have it make that much of an impact on me, like, I would come upstairs and tell my wife, like, oh, I sent him home. Like, he won his freedom. She's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Trust me, it's a big deal. And I'm like, I feel sad. I mean, I feel happy for him, but I feel sad. But, like, what does this mean for future matches? Like, and I mean, it just, I thought it was fantastic. Like Bastion, I loved. Transistor, I was very uneven on because it had some serious technical issues that really made it difficult to like the game at times because of the way that it fucked up your progress.
Yeah.
But as much as I love Bastion, I really think Pyre is their best game. And I just thought it was fucking, I thought it was amazing. I thought
it was fantastic. It was really fucking entertaining to watch you stream also. Like, I played Bastion and loved it. Transistor, I haven't even played it, but Pyre is one that I think eventually I would like to take a shot at.
Yeah, and it was one of those games that when I was done with it, I was like, I'm not going to load it back up. I'm not going to try to get a different ending. I'm not going to try to get trophies. Like, I am so happy with how it ended, so satisfied that, you know, trying to, like, just get trophies or what, like, you know, sometimes they get frustrating, and that's, like, the memory you're left with. I'm like, I don't want that.
Yeah. So. Cool.
All right, cool. What's next?
All right, so next for me, I only have two left, and one of them I'm sure you're going to talk about, so I'll get into that when you do, if you do. But yeah, Resident Evil 7 is my favorite game of the year, I think.
Really?
Just out of what I played. It's survival horror. The first half of the game, especially, is survival horror, like, almost perfected. I love what they did. I love the fact that Capcom sat back and watched just the stupidity of Konami and what they did with that Silent Hill game that everybody's so excited for. They were like, well, hey, they're fucking up, y'all. Let's get on something here. And the big rival is Resident Evil. We have that. Let's fix Resident Evil and make it like that. And that's exactly what they did. Like, the first, probably 8 to 10 hours of Resident Evil 7 is just fucking phenomenal. When you're in the house and or on the property, I should say, because you go out back, there's a trailer and there's a couple other little, there's a greenhouse, shit like this. But it is so good. and it is the every enemy could absolutely end your life within a swipe or two. You know what I mean?
Like what I would watch, I'm like, I can't play. Like that's one of the few games that I just was like, nope, nope.
Yeah.
Like I, and not because it's not my thing, but I was like, I can't do it. Like I'm too scared.
Yeah.
I'm too stressed. No, it is. I can't do it.
That's what I love about it. It was such a stressful thing for the first three quarters of the game. Like it is just phenomenal. I did get a little disappointed by the end just because it turns into more of an action game, but Resident Evil sort of always does that.
Yeah.
So when it became more of a first person shooter, and the enemies were, they were more like, well, let's see how many slime men we can throw your way. Cause you have a shotgun and a submachine gun now. Right. Like that doesn't work as well for me. I also feel like it ran a little long. Like the story was really good. And if it had ended where I thought it was ending, it's probably top five games of all time for me. Yeah. But the fact that it kept sort of kept going, and then like I read the DLC is like that also. It's like you're Chris Redfield, and it's an action shooter thing, which is, you know, that's,
yeah, I'd read that too.
Yeah, I mean that's fine. It's not going to be bad. I'll play it. I downloaded it today because it's free, and I'll play it. But it's so pales in comparison to the way that game went for the first three quarters of it. Like it was just fantastic. Like if
I mean,
at all dicks have a horror, then play
the thing I wish I could play it because it has that dirty 70s,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like just kind of
seedy
grindhouse theater feel to it. And I wish I was man enough. And I shouldn't say that.
No.
I wish I would not get stressed out and I could play it, but I know me. Like
yeah,
I scream like a little girl when
so
like in Prey. There's no way Resident Evil 7.
No, Resident Evil 7. Like it legit. There were moments where, well, hell, I mean, anybody can go back and watch me stream it. Like I screamed. Like I got fucking. And there were times where I didn't want to turn around because I just knew some shit was behind me and shit. Like, but that's, I love that.
Yeah.
And yeah, but you're absolutely correct. It honestly, if you played like the first hour, whatever that preview they put out was, I think it's called the first hour. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, but yeah, it absolutely feels like Texas, the first person Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. And that's not just the first hour. That's like the first, well, it depends on how slow you are. First,
how bad you are.
Right.
For me, it'd be the first 40 years.
That's what it's the first 6 to 8 hours and they are fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. Like I still, I mean, for me, as many times as I've seen it, I am never tired of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre scene where Leatherface comes out and whacks a guy in the head with a hammer.
Yeah.
As many times as I've seen it, I scream every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yep.
And I could tell myself it's right here. I could pause it and rewind it. And it comes. I mean, it's and so, you know, I love that that's the aesthetic they went with and not this weird, like it's all like everybody's doing zombies. Let's do zombies. And they were like, we're taking Texas Chainsaw Massacre and that super serious fucked up episode of X-Files. And they're going to have an incest love baby. And that's what you're going to be playing in.
Yep.
All right, cool. Well, before we get into like the best ones, because we need to start wrapping things up, I'm going to get real quick into my disappointments and the least favorite game of the year. So real quick on the disappointments list, I already talked about Wildlands. Battlefront 2, like I was hoping that the story would be better, and it just wasn't. And to have this made-up character, and I know they're all made-up characters, but we all know that different characters have different weights. But to have, you know, this made-up character for this game try to be on the same level as, like, Lando Calrissian or Han Solo, no.
Yeah.
No. And then for them to kind of have her not be an observer to all these key moments, but an active participant.
Yeah.
Almost like they're trying to force it on you. I didn't like it. And then I just felt like the story was, I felt like it was the single player campaign just wasn't great. like the things that happened in it didn't make a lot of sense. Her turn from being agent of the Empire to being part of the rebellion didn't make, you know, just was like, it was unconvincing. That I thought that space flight stuff was fantastic.
Yeah.
But the single player stuff wasn't good. And in the reality is the space flight stuff wasn't enough to spend $60 on.
Right. Yeah. I will say, having not played it, I'm obviously disappointed in it based on all the bullshit surrounding it, its release and all that. But also, I said during one of your streams, like I was worried it would be the case, and it turned out to be. But a campaign is not bot matches with cutscenes thrown in the middle of them, and that's
right.
what it looked like. I didn't play it, but that's what it looked like.
That's what it felt like. I mean, the reality is the AI was pretty bad. You could sit back and like snipe most of the time.
Yeah.
And as far as like the cards and the loot boxes and all that shit, I mean, it's all, you know, I don't know. I didn't really worry too much about it because it didn't really affect me, but I can understand maybe why some people would be upset. All right. So the next one is Agents of Mayhem. Only because I love Saints Row, and I know that you're not a fan, but you know, when they're like, you know, it's kind of a Saints Row, and not even that it's a Saints Row game, like Volition made, you know, Mars or whatever, Red Faction Guerrilla, which is one of the best open world games.
Yeah, I love Red Faction.
Of the last generation. So it's not necessarily a Saints Row thing. It's the fact that, you know, here you've got a game that's supposed to have like these roster of characters. They all have different abilities, and the writing is so bad.
Yeah.
And mechanically, it just doesn't work. And, you know, they try to frame it like a comic book type of thing, but yet it just kind of sucked. And I was really disappointed in it because I love Volition and I had hoped it had been better. And I went back, like I hadn't played it for a while. And then I went back to it thinking, okay, well maybe time, like, cause sometimes when you have expectations of something, it takes a minute and for you to like reset. And then once you kind of go into it, knowing what it is instead of what you wanted it to be, you can enjoy it. And that wasn't the case. I still was like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing. And then the game, even though I played it the most, but I ended up hating it at the end, was Shadow of Mordor.
Right.
I can't tell you. I mean, just mission after mission of just tedious wear down battles where it's just you waiting for a button prompt to do a counter or to do a dodge and then running forward and hitting somebody with your sword two times and then waiting and doing a counter. I mean, just mission after mission after mission of that for the last 2 hours.
Oof.
And then the final mission is like the narrative is so bad, and there's all these things that they hint about, but it doesn't pay off. They jam it into the last 45 minutes, and it just sucked. Like, it sucked. And then you spend all this time with this character, and then they change him in some seriously fundamental ways that as a player you should care about, particularly if you played the first one, and you don't. And because they want you to grind out another fucking 20 hours buying loot boxes of to do 9 or 20 different stages where you're defending the same fortress over and over again. Fuck that and fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, just get fucked. And not good fucked, where, like, you're happy and you're glowing at the end, but, like it hurt and you're in a dumpster at the end of the like, I made a bad choice.
Fucked, yeah.
You know, but I did it. Shame on me. I originally got it because I was like, hey, it's something to do. Like, because I try to plan for my streaming family to make sure that if I'm streaming something, for the most part, I'm not playing it any other time so we can all kind of experience it together. Mm. So it does tend to then change what I play in my off hours.
Right.
And so I thought, well, no one, you know, I did stream this one, but I can kind of do it in my off hours. And man, but then it got to the point, and I should have just been like, look, if you keep playing it, they win. And I was like, no, they ain't winning. I'm going to finish it. And they won. You know, they won. They won. So don't even start it.
No,
if you're just like, well, I like the first one, I'm don't even.
Right.
It is so not even worth it.
I didn't play the first one. I'm so disinterested in Lord of the Rings that like
the first one was great. Like you don't even have to care about Lord of the Rings.
No,
the
I know.
System. The Nemesis system was so good that the first one was worth it. But this one, the Nemesis system just became like annoying.
Yeah.
And it was just like the same orc who you killed seven other times coming out, and he's got like a bandage on his head and like a prosthetic limb and a wheelchair and a rascal, and you're just like, look, dude, you're not fooling anybody.
Right. No, I read that. Still, I'm so disinterested in Lord of the Rings, I was like, nah, I'm good.
Well, the thing is, that actually helps, because in this game, if you're interested in Lord of the Rings, the licenses they take with the story, holy shit, I can only imagine how pissed off like some Tolkien fans were with this bullshit that they fucking threw in this game, like utter and like I've seen the movies and I've read the books and I was like, this is some bullshit. Like, and I'm not talking like Cimmerillion or Cinnabon or whatever the fuck that big ass encyclopedia was. I'm just talking about the main games. But I was like, this motherfucker, like, no, you can't just decide that you're gonna just add a dude. Like, no. So yeah, so skip it. Skip it entirely. All right, so now we're getting, I think, down into the meat and the potatoes, the end game, as it were. So where do you are you at the end of your list, or do you need to keep going?
You keep going, because the only thing I have left to talk about, I think you're going to talk about too.
All right, so I have two games left, and these. Any year that they are together, I have three games left. And it is such a tough time deciding between them all in terms of what would be considered, you know, a personal game of the year. So I guess we'll just kind of go through them one by one.
Mm-hmm.
First one, and I talked about for my birthday, picking games I never played, is Nier. Nier Automata is hands down not just one of my favorite games I played this year, but probably one of my favorite games I ever played, ever. It was great. And when you first read about it, and they're like, what, there's like 26 different endings? And some of them are bullshit endings. Some of them are like, at this particular point in the story, you're supposed to go do something and you don't. And it goes, wah, wah, wah. And it has a little sentence. And then, you know, it quits, and then it you move on with your life, and it says, okay, you did that ending. Like, there's things like that. But then the actual game itself that has five different playthroughs was fantastic, because your point of view through those five changes based on the characters that you're using. Your perspective of what happened in certain situations changes. Your understanding of why you're doing what you're doing changes because of things that you've learned. And it was great. Like, it was great. And I just was like, and I mean, and I'm not even talking about, like, I've read shit about this game where I'm like, I don't understand what they're saying, but I love the fact that this game, like, made you say it. Like, that this game has the levels in it that you recognize them, even if I didn't, if that makes sense. Because narratively, this game does some fucking crazy shit, and it just changed. And I think it'd be more so if I had played some of the other Nier games. But even just what you play going into it cold, and particularly the very last thing, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but the very last thing that happens is a choice that you have to make that I think is great, because it basically lets you choose other people over yourself in a way that normally you don't see in games. And again, I don't want to spoil it for you. And it makes sense, like, narratively why they would do it. But it was just fantastic. Like, I was done with it, and I just was like, put the controller down and was just like looking at the screen like, wow. Like, that was fucking great. And the only reason I played it is because I read I read reviews and they said it was fantastic. And again, I needed, like, my wife, I was like, hey, you can get me some of this for my birthday. And I'm glad I took a chance. I mean, it's a brawler action RPG. And if you like action RPGs, it mechanically, it's fantastic. And it has some of the best, like, easy mode type shit you'll ever play. Like, if you just, you like, when we play against the AI, that type of thing, where you're like, you know what, I've had a rough day, I just want to put it on easy and let my little robot friend wreck shit forever. You can do that. And I mean, you can make it so that they jump for you, they dodge for you, your little robot companion kills everything for you. You can just sit back and basically like push a thumbstick and murder everybody. And that is super satisfying. But if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. You can make it as hard or as difficult as you want. And I thought it was fantastic. Like I just thought it was fantastic. So the next one, and I'm only going to mention this one because I know you haven't played it yet, is Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. When we talk about Nintendo's great year, this game, I think, more than anything else, to me, like the switch to them, for me, was them saying, yeah, we fucked up with the Wii U, so we're going to change kind of what it, you know, what it means to have a console and a handheld and all that stuff together. We're just going to kind of remix it. We're going to blur the lines between those two things. But Breath of the Wild was them saying, let's take Zelda and just completely change everybody's expectations of what Zelda is. And they did a little bit of this in the 3DS game, not A Link to the Past, but the one, it's like it kind of harkens back to that. I forget exactly what it's called, with the idea that, like, hey, you can go to a dungeon anytime you want, and you can just kind of buy what you need before you go into the dungeon. Mm-hmm. The idea in this one where you could go anywhere at any time and do anything if you wanted to. You can make a beeline for the boss fight from the minute you step out of the Shrine of Resurrection. If you want to try, go right ahead. Like, that idea in Zelda is, I mean, that, You couldn't do that. And games have been doing that for such a long time. And mm-hmm. here comes Zelda, and they're like, we're going to do that, but we're going to do it better. We're going to fold it into what you know and what you love about Zelda. We're going to make it our own, and we're going to make it to where it feels like this is how Zelda has always been.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking just absolutely brilliant. Like, absolutely. Like, I did all 120 shrines in that game for no other reason that I felt it deserved it. Like, it deserved, like, what it gave me, it deserved me putting in that effort to do them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on a practical standpoint, I got shit out of it because you get hearts, you get stamina, and it makes your life so much easier late game. But right. At the same time, I also genuinely wanted to do them. And I thought it was fantastic. And mechanically, it works. The fact that, you know, the fact that I can, like, my kid has a doctor's appointment and I can be playing Zelda in the waiting room.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding? And not like a virtual console game, you know, that I played, whatever, 10 years ago. Like, it's like a new Zelda. Like, right here, while they're getting their blood drawn, are you like, I should be comforting them because they're scared? And I'm like, bitch, this horse ain't going to ride himself. Like, okay, you get blood drawn. Well, Hyrule has been enslaved by Ganon for like 100 years. Let's prioritize, okay?
Yeah.
No, just a fantastic game. Fantastic game on a great console that if ever there was a game where you were like, I need a reason to buy this console, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Right there, full stop.
Yep. And it's the first one out of the gate, which is
fantastic. It's the first one out of the gate. Like, holy shit. And that's the thing I think that was amazing to me, too, is how they just didn't let up. They're like, yeah, no, we're starting here, but look at where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
We got this. We're going to end with Mario Odyssey. We're going to throw a Xenoblade Chronicles in there. Nobody understands how to play the game, but they're going to pretend they do. They don't look stupid. They're confused. They don't know what's going on, but they ain't going to tell you. They're going to buy it anyway.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Right.
Yep. No, fantastic. And that's the thing. Like, any other year, Nier is game of the year. Any other year, I think Breath of the Wild is going to be game of the year for a lot of games.
I do too.
A lot of people.
Absolutely.
Any other year, Nier is game of the year, hands down. Breath of the Wild is game of the year, hands down. And this next one, Wolfenstein 2,
yep.
The New Odyssey.
That's the New Colossus.
Sorry.
Yep.
Is game of the year.
Yeah.
No, I mean, hands down, probably one of the best. Like I thought that the last Wolfenstein game was good.
Yeah,
but they surpassed it. Absolutely. I will say there were some parts in this game where I felt like they were like, yeah, you can do stealth, and you really couldn't do stealth.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from a story perspective, from a way that this game took your idea of what it meant to be the kind of constantly pushing forward shooter hero and just totally threw it on its head. Yep. I mean, if at any point in time were you ever like, like playing a game where you're going to be BJ Blazkowicz body horror game. Like, right. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. Like I think roughly halfway through at this point, because I've put everything else down when this game came in the mail. I bought it from Best Buy on Black Friday for $25 or it was. And I knew, cause I started Battle Chasers and I knew not to, I was like, you stupid ass, like Wolfenstein's coming next week. And I did. I started Battle Chasers. I haven't touched it since I got Wolfenstein. I think I'm roughly halfway through it. But you do shit in this game that...
Yes.
It doesn't even make sense on paper.
Yeah.
And it works. So fucking good.
Yeah.
You're just like, how did this never be, was a thing? Like, how was this never a thing? Like, it is so fucking good. And I was sitting here, I was playing it last night after I got done watching you stream.
So where are you in the game?
I'm probably an hour past the milkshake scene. Oh, yeah. Okay. Which was fucking phenomenal. That whole sequence.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it. But I'm like about me an hour past that. But like I was playing it last night and I was playing through that part and then I kept going and I was sitting there and I just stopped and I was like, you know, I am not playing this on a PS4 Pro. I'm playing it on the PS4 that I got at launch on a television that is not a 4K television. And it is still not fair to other games how fucking good this game looks and how fucking smooth this game
is. Yeah.
For all of its, like, you know, I'm loving the story and the aesthetic of all of it. But from a technical standpoint, it is in shoulders above other games that I'm playing.
Yeah. And from a narrative, like, the thing that I love the most about it is how it's kind of hard to describe it, but I love how it completely fucks with your expectation of like what's going to happen, you know, things that happen in this game. And I'm just like, you know, you and I don't even want to get into it because you haven't experienced it yet, but there's things where you're like, okay, I know where this is going, and you don't know where it's going. You genuinely have no idea where it's going, and you think that you do, and you don't, and then it just changes your perspective, and then it fucks with your idea of BJ and what it means to be like an action hero in these, like a faceless, just a gun,
right,
kind of floating at waist level. And it plays with all that stuff where you're just like a broken shell of a guy who's just like trying to get through all of these situations. And
yeah,
I mean, it just, I just thought it was fantastic. And then in the current political climate,
right,
and is even more impactful to play as somebody who's fighting back from a country that he feels is throwing in with a group that does not have the best interests of all of their citizens in mind.
Yep.
And I mean, the weapons are fantastic. There are so many times when you feel like, like there were so many times where I was like, okay, this weapon upgrade, I don't see the point. And then I applied it and I was like, oh, I get it. Like,
yeah.
like the machine pistol.
Yeah.
When I was like, well, I don't, you know, the thing where it heats it up and the nail gun. Oh my God. Yes. Like 1,000 times. Yes.
Yeah.
And like, you want to go back in time and be like, you need that.
Right.
But that's all of them. You know, or like all of the weapons are so good that the and then later on when it gets to the point where you can kind of go back to levels and, you know, take commanders out and all that shit. And then even just the way the story ends, and I thought it was fit, like all of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, the fact that Bethesda once again took a chance on a single player only.
Mm-hmm.
No multiplayer. Yep. No.
Yes.
No forced multiplayer,
right?
That nobody gives a shit about. They're only doing it to get some G jar or whatever to help. You know, who cares?
Right.
You know, it was great. And again, any other, like, it's so hard because it's like, you know, if this was the game by itself, you'd be like, yeah, game of the year. But then all of these other games are also out, and they can't all be game of the year.
Right.
We're spoiled. And yeah, and I mean, so I'm glad.
We really are.
I'm glad, like, you didn't, like, when you said you didn't watch my streams because you were like, well, I don't want to have it spoiled. Like, I'm glad that you didn't, because there's so much stuff happens in this game that I think if you had seen it ahead of time, it really would, you know, it would still be impactful when Right. you did it, but it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I love that you stream. I loved watching you play back in the day when you did Second Son or whatever it was, Infamous. You know, I had a good time with that. Like, it was good. I was like, oh shit, I'm hanging out with Brandon every day. But and I still, like, I watched some of Horizon. I didn't watch all of it because I knew I was going to play it. But Wolfenstein, I was like, I don't know if I want to see any of it. And I showed up maybe 3 times. While you were streaming Wolfenstein 2. And thankfully I didn't miss anything major. Like, I don't think I did. I didn't get anything spoiled. So far.
No, and I think, and it definitely is a game. Like, there's some, like, kind of moment to moment things where you're like, okay, cool. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, if you don't necessarily have the perspective, it's fine. You're like, all right, I'm in this area and I'm killing Nazis. That's
right.
Cool. Oh, this area looks different. I'm killing Nazis.
Right.
But it's the, I guess it's the parts that stitch it all together.
Yeah.
That if you were to have seen them ahead of time would take a lot away.
Yeah, I think so.
And I mean, here's the thing between, like, if I had to pick, if somebody said to me, I have these three games, I have Nier, I have Breath of the Wild, and I have Wolfenstein 2, which one? I'd be like, yeah. Like, any of them. Like,
right.
Any of them.
Oh, that's the thing. And like I said, like, I said Resident Evil was my favorite game this year. I still have trouble saying that, having only played roughly half of Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
It's still like, I was like, you know what? Wolfenstein, honestly, and I don't know if it's because I'm playing it now versus I played Resident Evil back in, you know, fucking February or whatever it was. Right. And so it's still on my mind, but not in the way that it was while I was playing it.
Right.
But unless Wolfenstein does something drastically different at some point in the near future, I'm comfortable in saying that it probably is my favorite game this year. The only reason why I said Resident Evil is because I finished Resident Evil.
Right. Right.
And I was disappointed with the end of Resident Evil. I hope I'm not disappointed with the end of Wolfenstein.
I don't think you will be. I could tell you what I watched. I was like, oh shit.
All right. Like, that's all I need to know.
The only thing I was disappointed by in Wolfenstein is that there's a trophy for sitting all the way through the credits, and there's some speed metal band that does a horrible cover of Twisted Sisters. We're not going to take it.
Oh, okay.
That was the only thing I was disappointed.
Oh, because I actually mentioned that on Twitter. I was like, you know what? Because I do this all the time. When something's loading, I'll sit here and start fucking around on my phone, or I'll play on the laptop, yeah, whatever, because the laptop's usually sitting right beside me. And there was this one time I just realized, oh my, I've been on Twitter for like 6 minutes and the game's ready for me to press the button. But I've subconsciously been listening to this music and it's fucking fantastic. Like the menu music. I did the same thing on was the New Order, whatever the first one was. Yeah. I did the same thing. I was like, I'd sit here and I'd zone out and realize, like, I've just been listening to this fucking music and it's fantastic.
Yeah, well, I'm not a big fan of metal.
I know.
So, and I, you know, child of the '80s, you know, like Twisted Sister. I was just like, you know, that was Jimmy Woods and those videos. So to hear a metal cover of We're Not Gonna Take It, I was like,
I'm probably gonna love it, to be honest.
You'll probably love it. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I didn't play Assassin's Creed Origins, and I know you're probably very disappointed because you didn't play it either.
I will tell you that I am excited to watch you play it. And
just so you can confirm how much you hate it.
I'm being 100% genuine. I've seen it so much and I'm curious because I dig that whole Egyptian thing, man. Like I could see myself playing this game as much as I've seen of it. I'm like, you know what? If it's just different from the Assassin's Creeds that I've played enough, given that Egyptian aesthetic, I can see myself picking this game up for like $15 and actually trying it.
Sure. I think we're both really waiting for when I play Knack 2, because I think Knack 2 is good.
Yeah. I am literally like chomping at the bit.
I can't wait. Absolutely. All right, cool. So that's it for us for our games. Best of 2017. As we mentioned before, next year we're going to be not next year. Sorry, next week, next show. I'm all over the place. We're going to talk about Last Jedi, and then the show after that we will get into our movies. And I still have a bunch of movies from this year that I still need to watch. So I think it's good that I have more time. But as always, we appreciate you spending time with us. And of course, you can feel free to email or Twitter or whatever if you have your own games that maybe we didn't talk about, we missed, and you want to throw it on our radar so we can get to it. That'd be always appreciated.
Absolutely.
But for myself and Mitch, this has been episode 37 of Divided by Werewolves, and we look forward to you spending some more time with us in the next couple weeks. Sorry, not next couple weeks. Good Lord. So for myself and Mitch, thanks again. Good night and have a good evening.